So today I will be reading from a talk called Mindfulness of Death, and it's a little booklet adapted from a talk by Ajahn Plien Panya Patipo from Chiang Mai, Thailand. And Mindfulness of Death is Marana Sati, which can be translated as mindfulness of death, reflection on death, frequent thoughts of death, recollecting one's mortality, or bringing up into mind the inevitability of one's death. It is an expression for shaking us out of our complacency. As such, it is a great motivational tool to help one quickly make effort to start and continue making merit. This book, entitled Mindfulness of Death, has been published for people who have set their mind on practicing the Dhamma. The practice will provide the greatest benefits when practitioners cultivate their mind using mindfulness of death. These people are regarded as heedful in the way they lead their life. For instance, if they wish to make merit, they will not delay in making merit. If they wish to maintain the moral precepts, they will not delay their efforts in maintaining the moral precepts. If they wish to meditate, they will not delay putting effort to meditate for peace within themselves. Hence, these people will not die without making merit for themselves. Frequently thinking about mortality is in accordance with the Lord Buddha's teaching. For those who have developed mindfulness of death, upon applying their mind to meditation, their mind will not run away on various trains of thought. Their mind will calm down quickly because of frequent reflection on mortality. Such persons will be able to make a lot of merit in line with their personal ability. They will then obtain good results and benefits from having been born a human being. That is the preface. Mindfulness of death. On this occasion, all of us, monks, novices, and devout lay followers, have assembled together in this assembly hall. We intend to seek the way to be freed from suffering and to gain supreme happiness following in the footsteps of our Lord Buddha. With this goal in mind, we have to put forth earnest effort and perseverance to make merit for ourselves. We should look all around us, left and right, to realize that our lives are slipping by, steadily, day by day. Old age and infirmity are advancing upon us every day and all the time. As long as we do not make effort to meditate to see the real truth, we are deluded by our own apparent youthfulness. However, if we do contemplate this wisely, we will realize that once we are born, we continuously age and change, and will eventually reach the final state of deterioration, death. The wise ones with mindful heart, upon contemplating death, will realize that death is near. Ones who understand this fact will make earnest efforts to cultivate meritorious virtue for themselves. On the other hand, those who neither develop awareness on mortality, remind themselves of death on a daily basis, nor realizing that death can happen any day, are called heedless people. They indulge in the pleasures of life, assuming that their life will last for many more days, months, and years. As a result, they are negligent and fail to accumulate merit for themselves. Their life will then have been futile. Just like some people who stay at home or elsewhere with children, grandchildren, with brothers and sisters, they have never been to the temple, they never study the Dhamma or listen to Dhamma talks. They never train themselves to correct their bad tendencies. They are deluded and are foolishly blinded. They do not know the right behavior and the way to practice. They do not appreciate the value of their life. As such, they are just obsessed with seeking pleasures from life. This is what we call being complacent in the various stages of life. While they are youthful, they mistakenly believe that they are still young. On reaching middle age, they mistakenly believe that they are still strong and do not need to worry about going to the temple yet. When they are 50 or 60 years old, some mistakenly think that they are not old yet. As a result, they do not go to the temple, listen to Dhamma talks, observe the precepts, or practice meditation. At the advanced age of 70, 80, or 90 years old, they then claim that their eyes become blurred, they have no strength to walk, and they are too old to go to the temple to listen to Dhamma talks or practice observing the moral precepts. As such, they have wasted their entire life and lost all opportunity to bring virtue and worth into their life. Thus, they have no refuge. Birth in the next life will not be fruitful. So for this reason, we should think of bringing the Dhamma into our hearts without using age as an excuse. During the time of the Lord Buddha taught people not to be complacent in the various stages of life, not to be heedless of age. Being heedless of age, some do not go to the temple because they think they are still young. They should not think so. Instead, they should have wisdom and an awareness and be capable of learning the teaching of the Lord Buddha in order to bestow themselves with virtue. These are people who are not heedless in the various stages of their life because they realize that death can happen any day, any time, and any minute, and that this applies to everyone in this world. Once we realize that the possibility of death is close at hand, we will not indulge ourselves with worldly joy. Instead, we will be intent on developing virtue and worth in our life. We will consistently engage in meritorious actions, whether by giving alms, conducting wholesome deeds, or maintaining the precepts, bestowing ourselves with morality and righteousness. As for meditation, we will make earnest effort to train, develop, correct, and elevate our mind to attain peace and contentment. This is how heedful people are. Once our mind is peaceful and firmly concentrated, we can contemplate how our body evolves after it is born. We will then learn that our physical body possesses three universal characteristics of existence, namely impermanence, suffering, and non-self. These are the facts that we should be fully aware of and clearly understand. For those who have not yet understood, they should learn and keep this perception in mind. We can see that after we are born, we then grow. From being a young child, we turn teenaged, middle-aged, through to becoming senior and elderly. As such, should we not agree that this is impermanence? We should mindfully contemplate ourselves. From the time we were just a baby, our body continuously changed and evolved to what it is now. What is it? Is it certain? Is it permanent? If we remain small as we used to be, then it would be permanent. If we remained young and did not grow older, then it would be permanent. When we reach middle age, from there we turn senior and elderly. Our skin wrinkles and slackens. Our teeth wear away and fall out. Our hair whitens and turns gray, and it evolves like this. Even so, some are not wise enough to realize that they have grown old. Some do not realize it even when they have turned 50, 60, or 70. They do not realize this. Why? They have not studied the Dhamma principles proclaimed by the Lord Buddha. They are deluded. They indulge themselves with worldly joy and waste their life completely. We should acknowledge and comprehend this. Wherever we may be born, birth ordinarily brings suffering along with it. Birth does not bring just happiness and comfort all the time. The suffering caused by diseases and ailments, hot and cold weather, hunger, thirst, and tiredness tramples upon our physical body. At times, we are sad, unhappy, depressed, and we cry. Sorrow, sadness, and defilements do exist. Suffering is natural and normal. There is no place in this entire world where you can escape from it. Who on earth can live his life without experiencing bodily or mental suffering? No one. Even doctors or nurses who prescribe medicine and pharmacists who earn their pharmacy degree from whichever institution, although they can dispense medicine to cure diseases, they are also under the influence of birth, old age, sickness, and death, like everybody else. Despite their skills in preparing and formulating all kinds of medicine, they cannot avoid sickness. This shows that our bodily form, once it comes into existence, brings suffering along with it. It does not embody happiness. If we think that it embodies happiness, we are deluded. If anyone should think that the body embodies happiness and comfort, he has been deluded by the body. In fact, once we are born, the true nature of the body is to come to experience suffering. Now, anything that brings suffering is non-self. It is beyond the power of anyone to rule, to protect, or to maintain. Is there anyone among us in this world, whether here or elsewhere, who can truly control or look after himself? Only those who are not mindful and unwise wish to find ways to control others. They may use violence, lethal force, imprisonment, threats, and coercion or other means in the hope to bring others under their own control. Where on earth is that possible? Their wishes will not be fulfilled. Who on earth can force all others to listen to him? That is impossible. Forcing all others not to listen to him is also impossible. Can anyone stand another person on the palm of his hand, flick the person's head, and order that person to obey him? Is there anyone in the world who is willing to be kept under such control? We can safely say that there is no such person in this world. However, we wish to think there is. We uselessly bring unhappiness onto ourselves. We should all bear in mind that we cannot order or control even ourselves. Then why should we think we can order or control others? How can we put others under our control or claim that they are ours? We should contemplate. We should ponder over this. If we can take this idea to heart, we will be able to let go of others. We will not cling to anyone or anything. Similar to the time when we come together, eventually we will leave and go separate ways. This is what we call unite in part freely. Everyone is free to go anywhere at will. No one is bound to anyone else. Now let's think about growing old. Isn't it similar? Nobody can stop others from growing old. Take a look at ourselves. We cannot even control ourselves not to grow old. How could we stubbornly think that we can keep others under our control? Hence, we should all study to understand the Dhamma, the teaching of the Lord Buddha. And now I'll skip to the conclusion. Therefore, I want to advise you all monks, novices, as well as devotees, to reflect on mortality every day, 100 times, 300 times, 500 times. When we keep pondering over it, we will become earnest in the task. We will not be negligent in accumulating merit and goodness. Hurry up. Our life is so fleetingly short. It is not long. Take a good look. As days flash by, what have we been doing? As days and nights pass by, what have we been doing? We should question what we have done to improve ourselves. Are our deeds evil or virtuous? What do our deeds earn us today? Did we do any good deeds that brought us contentment? or did we accumulate only defilement and disquiet? We should recognize that if defilement and disquiet exist, then we have a deficit today. We should develop our mind to be joyful, so that we can be contented with our merit and goodness. Then we will attain our own refuge. Hence, everyone, as we take the reins retreat here, we should resolve to develop virtuous qualities. For devout laypersons, the reins retreat has started. We should make an effort to go to the temple and listen to Dhamma talk every Buddhist holiday and a day before. If you can't go but stay at home, please try to meditate and do good deeds. Don't be overconfident. Don't be negligent and waste your time. When we are determined to do good deeds and to be heedful, we will bestow goodness on ourselves. The happiness born out of all these belongs to us, not others. When the feeling of happiness arises, while we are mindful of it, we will feel naturally at ease. Like those respected elderly monks, they are at ease. Their minds are contented and freed. Now only their body exists in this world, but they aren't attached to it. They live with their physical body or physical aggregate, but do not cling to it. So this Dhamma talk on the topic of reflection on death, which reminds you to be heedful, and on the topic of the three universal characteristics, should give you a reasonably clear understanding. It is time to end.
I'm not quite sure who they ordained with. It was after Ajahn Lam passed away that it became anonymous. I can't remember who he ordained with. He ordained in the Northeast. He spent time with Lumpu Wan, but he's also extremely gregarious person, so that he sought out all sorts of teachers at that time, spent time, short periods of time, studying with many of the great teachers, senior disciples of Ajahn Lam, which is in the Ajahn Lam tradition. And I think the person he was closest to was Lumpu Wan. And his monastery is not that far away from Lumpu Wan's.
Like the Pure Land tradition, it's pretty clear, like the preparation for death, you just recite Amitabha, Amitabha, and you're vowing to be born in the Pure Land. It's all like pretty simple and like specific. I'm wondering if there are like specific recommendations which yourself or Lumpu Chah would give, like in preparation for that exact moment, or like in preparation and close to the last minute.
That moment of going into the Pure Land?
in a non-Pure Land?
I think just the recollection, just that recollection of death. But also, that's what Bhutto is used for. In the sense of being able to develop an ability to hold the mind on a positive perception, so that that Buddha recitation is a a way of bringing out that very positive perception and associations. Besides making the mind peaceful, it creates that sense of. Oftentimes with the like for when people are dying, one of the things that relatives will do is to be with them and remind them to bring to mind Bhutto. So that's a like within the lay world, that's something that people would, relatives, friends would do. If you're sitting with somebody who's passing away, you would encourage them to recollect Bhutto. The NT goes to the NG, son, Arahant. And remember, because Lopal Chans was saying, somebody who's not done it before, it's pretty hard to get them to bring up positive images and qualities of mind if they haven't done it before. So there was this drunk who was in this really dissolute and not very, never went to the tent and had faith. But his relatives and his family were very devout. And then as he was dying, they were surrounding him. Recite Arahant, Arahant, think of Arahant. And then in Thai, this guy's dying, he's going, Prahalarwan, Nihan. It's sort of, what kind of a monk is a tail? That's all they could think of, because Han, Arahant, and then this Han is tail in Thai. So. So he gets it all confused and he's hopeless sort of negative image of cynical and negative to the very end. So I mean that's recitations of bringing up recollections of goodness.
That reminds me of the story of Paul Breiter saying, telling Lumbar Chow that he wanted to teach meditation to dying people.
Right.
Lajin Chow pins him on the ground with his staff, pushing it really hard into his sternum. Okay, Bhutto, Bhutto.
When Ajahn Kurunadamo was the last time I went to see Iris, when Ajahn Kurunadamo was there, he gave her the recollection from the three words from the Mangala Sutta: sorrowless, spotless, secure.
Mm-hmm.
And when I reflected on that, I thought, wow, yeah, that's skillful. Because mm-hmm. Iris probably didn't, you may not have used Bhutto, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she certainly chanted the Mangala Sutta again and again over the years. And so that would have had meaning.
Yeah, those are, because what you're doing is trying to bring to mind those things which are bright.
Reminds of where you incline your mind towards. When Master Wa was asked by a couple what kind of dog they should get, and he responded, whatever kind of dog you want to be reborn as.
Yeah, he wasn't big on health.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in England, there's probably a lot of English people. They're going to deliver and solicitors have been drawn. I've chanted for dogs here and funeral ceremonies. What was her name again?
Reagan.
She was. That was laughing at her. Right? Felt it was more skillful to support her.
When we were installing the Buddha image up at the ordination platform, and then that day I came looking behind, make sure there was what kind of saw you sprinkling some ashes. Remember that?
Oh, Dorje the Dharma dog?
Yeah.
Paul Breiter. He sent me the ashes. I was hoping to have it installed in the Buddha image. Don't think so.
What do you do, maybe you just burst out the thing?
Bear. It was his short name.